I'm going to come at what we think about in a slightly different manner here. I want you to go, I'm going to go to a few scriptures, and they're only one verse each, so you might just want to write down the references. But the first one is Romans chapter 4. And this is going to be, again, slightly different because of something that the Lord said to me, and I want to share it with you. So I'm probably going to go back over the prophetic words that were given at the end of the year, because I think there's probably some of you didn't hear them, and I don't know if I'll have time to do all of them. But what I want you to see is that God's still talking to us, but he's also reiterating some stuff about what you consider, what you think about. And so Romans chapter 4, and I am going to read basically verse 18 and right through to verse 20. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. So that's the promise. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which is as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So Abraham believed the promise regardless of the circumstances. And you see this many, many times in the Old Testament. This is just one example. In a lot of situations, and you can probably, when you start thinking about it, you can probably come up with them. A lot of situations, the promise was here, the circumstances were way over here, and people had a choice. And so, I mean, here's one sample. The Israelites were leaving Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. There's an army coming behind them. God promised them deliverance. So the promise was deliverance. The circumstances contradicted the promise. Amen? And not everyone believed, because they were all like, oh no, the Egyptians are coming. We might as well just have stayed in Egypt. So a lot of them probably didn't even believe the promise. But, and even Moses probably had doubts going through his head. So what goes through your head isn't necessarily what's inside your heart. Amen. Right. So Moses said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And then God said, well, hold up your rod. And so he did. He was obedient. And the sea parted. Now, did they continue to believe when they got into the wilderness? No, they had another promise. They had other contradicting circumstances. And you can see this on and on and on through the Old Testament. So what we see or sense is often directly opposite to the promise that's been given. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the promises that have been given to us. And the promise is basically for us as Christians, the truth of the Word of God. And the devil's job is to get you to believe that the promise won't happen, whether it's for you individually, for your family, for your church, whatever. And when you get into unbelief, then you can get into fear. And so that's basically the opposite of your faith. So I'm going to get Dallas. Can you put that declaration up? We are going to do a declaration at the end of this, but I want to put it up because I know there's going to be some people who want to write it down, and hopefully you can write and listen at the same time. So I am going to, for now, just go to the prophetic words, and I'm not going to read all of it. Maybe I have time. So this was December 20th. There are many things coming individually and corporately. Expect the word to flow with power. The power will not only be sent spiritually, but also physically. The actual act of speaking, not loud, just natural force of speaking, will have power to heal, deliver, and so on. It will be like never before. So right away, your expectations have to go up. If it's not going to be like ever before, you have to expect something new. You have to pray into it, believe it, and then do it again and again. Continue to speak it. Don't let it go. And when I went through these words, I kept remembering what David said to us last year. I think it was late summer. He was talking. He gave the message in church, and he said, we have to pay attention to what God has said. And he's and to me, some of this is reiterated in what we're going to talk about today. And then he said, don't let it go. It will no longer flow. Speak it, and the word will spread. It will be just like you heard from my prophets near and far. Take it all in and do not mar what I have said with your own words, supposing what you think I mean and seeking in the natural for things yet unseen. There is much coming quickly now. You don't have time to think about how. Just be ready to see and do as everything old is becoming new. Prophecy spoken in the past will remain valid until at last. You see them come as they were spoken. Remember, my word is never broken. It's the glory, yes, the glory and fire will appear. So end of 2018, into 2018, the beginning of 2018, I guess, we had words that the glory and fire were going to come. So he's reiterating that. The glory and fire will appear. It's all in you. It's very near. It's my presence, as I said before. So he's reiterating. As you speak, the power will be more. Increase comes in my spirit, you see. So in 2019, rest in me. Knowing your future is secure, the faithful few will increase for sure. Watch me work while you're in the secret place, making sure to seek my face. As a church and individually too, praying in the spirit is what you do to bring about these things as new. And I would say, just off of the top there, Pastor Irene was saying we're going to pray for people for healing. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want a prayer language to pray in the spirit like he says to do, then we'll deal with that as well. And then I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in the middle of the word that came on December 30th, he says, you will accelerate and move quickly as you are presented with finances, opportunities, and God-ordained people who will be coming into contact with you. My people will desire to be near you and interact with you individually and corporately because they will see the difference between you and the world. And it goes on to the set time. This is a set time and appointed time. But then again, at the end of this, he says, speak of the things he said. Speak of them in meetings and between yourselves. Speak of them when you pray. Speak of them in the spirit in words and songs to yourself. They will manifest. So, having said all that, before I went to the ladies' meeting on Thursday morning, I was listening to Sister Billy Brim, and it's actually programs that have aired before, but she was talking about the glory of God. And I just want to read, before I read this, I just want to go over a couple of scriptures. So Colossians 1:27, and I'm going to read it. I'm reading it from the Amplified because I think it's very interesting. It says, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And the mystery is this, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of realizing the glory. And I think it's really interesting here that in this translation, the word hope, and it says the hope, it's capitalized. He's referring to Christ, which the word Christ means the anointed one and the anointing. So what he's saying is, we have this in us. And then if you go to Ephesians, which is just back a couple of pages, chapter 2, verse 10, says, so we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated. We are recreated, amen, in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God has prearranged some things. He's made some things ready for us. And then if you want to something else to meditate on, you could meditate on the whole book of Ephesians. It's all about, the book of Ephesians is all about the church. The first chapter of Ephesians basically talks about who we are as the church and who we are individually. But if you go to Philippians chapter 1 and you hit verse 6, he says, I'm convinced and sure of this very thing. He who began a good work in you. Has God begun a good work in any of us? Amen? He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion. How many of you want to believe for full completion?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, and there are so many more verses. I'm just going to go to one more in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Again, this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you could meditate on this for days, but I'm just going to go to verse 7. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. Amen. To lift us into the glory of his presence. Now, you're going to say, well, I don't see the glory. Well, you know what? You're contradicting the promise. And we're not going to contradict the promise. So, when I tuned in to watch this, I felt like I was supposed to take some notes, so I got my pen and my paper, and this is what the Lord said. Earnestly expect the glory that is in you to manifest. So what did we just say? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's revealed this mystery for our glorification. The same power or glory that raised me from the dead dwells in my body, which is you. Look at one another as being filled with the glory. So I can see we look at one another. I don't see any glory. Well, you know, again, you have to look with your spiritual eyes. I think it's the verse in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, we're recreated in Christ Jesus, and the next verse says we don't look at each other the same way anymore. Act like you are filled with the glory. Make the glory and power connection. So what Irene was talking about, change your thinking. Change how you think about all of these things. As I spoke earlier, and so he's gone in this, what he's speaking about, speaking earlier is from December 20th, what I just read. Yes, the glory and fire will appear. It's all in you. It's very near. So he's just telling us the glory's in us. We have it. It's my presence, as I said before, as you speak, the power will be more. So I'm expecting a manifestation of glory and power here this morning. We're celebrating. We're going to seal this with the covenant. We're going to seal this with our new covenant by taking communion this morning. So start declaring my glory in you as a body and individually. So that's what this is about. Declare it when you meet. When you step into it, you will realize how I have separated you for this time, as I have declared you as holy, separated to me. What I have declared is already in existence. My word always, always, always comes to pass. Again, I say, make the connection. And so, to be holy, that chair right there, there's a table between it and the other chairs. That table, actually, if you go to the meaning of holy, is holy because it's separated from the others. That's basically the meaning of holy. It means you're separated. You are separated from this world. So what I wanted to explain about this is you'll see that, okay, it'll go to the next page. But on here, it will say that we receive it and we allow it. And just going back to what I received earlier this year, if I can find it. Anyway. What the Lord told me personally about the prophetic word that he gave me personally was that I had to receive it, and I had to allow it, and I had to activate it. And so the reason the word allow is in there is because you have to allow something to happen in your life. Yeah. And what allowing it means, you're not going to do things that hinder it from coming to pass, like speaking against it, acting opposite to the way it's supposed to be. So that's why the word allow is in there. And I think the rest is probably relatively self-explanatory. So we are going to do this declaration, and then we're going to do communion. So, all together now, ready. We believe and declare your word according to Colossians 1, verse 27, and Ephesians 2, verse 10. And according to your instruction, the glory is manifested in us, and that we are separate to you for your purposes, both individually and corporately as your body. We believe, we receive, we allow, and we activate this manifestation by declaring your word before you. Amen.
Thank you.